It's a very interesting thing to know that we just go to Jesus and He's right there for us at all times. We're going to begin a sermon series on prayer this week. And about an hour and a half ago, I got a phone call from my sister who is vacationing overseas, and she just had got a herniated disc, and she's now in ER, in excruciating pain in an ER overseas. That's not the best place to be in the world. And then I got a phone call about an hour ago, and Doug Richardson's uncle, who raised him as a father, just passed away. And so we know that there is a constant need for us to go to God in prayer, beseeching Him in petition, thanking Him for His blessings, adoring Him for who He is, and also prayers of confession and repentance. And so in that light today, that our gospel reading, as the other lessons, focus on prayer. And the gospel for today is from Matthew, beginning chapter 6. Would you please rise for the reading of the gospel? And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Here ends the gospel reading. You may be seated. Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
Welcome to week one of our sermon series on prayer. I have to admit, I was actually a bit baffled in how to begin this sermon series because of the various myriad of just so many different ways you could go in discussing prayer. So I did what every good preacher does. I went on the internet. I checked on Amazon.com and I found 135 million websites on prayer. So then I went over to the Google. I found that there are 135,000 books on prayer. There are 4 million videos on prayer. There are 6 million news articles on prayer. And now I've been a pastor for almost 50 years, if you can believe it. And I've learned a lot of things about prayer for all the things, like you, that I've been through. And one of the things I've observed is that we are wired to pray. We are wired to pray. Our Creator made us in such a way that prayer seems like a natural thing to do, and that's why everybody prays. And I don't know if some of you remember 9/11 and when the Twin Towers were hit, and the Sunday after that occurred, our attendance in church doubled. Everybody wanted to pray for 1 week. And then it went back to normal because nothing else happened. 1 week, everybody wanted to pray. Why, even the Missouri Synod prayed there at the Twin Towers. We all were praying. And the Muslims pray. Buddhists pray. Hindus pray. Jews pray. Christians pray. Secular people pray. Why, you can even get an atheist to pray. All you have to do is hit him in the stomach. He says, "Oh, my God." And he'll call on the name of God, of Jesus, in every culture. And now who they pray to, what they pray about, differs. But that's what makes us human. We are yearning to pray. There's a part of us that wants to be in communion with God. And God has made us in His image, and in that respect, we're different from the animals because cows do not pray. Worms do not pray. And you find that amoeba do not pray. But human beings want to be connected with God. Now look at the next, at the passage there that's up on the screen. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has planted eternity in the human heart. There's got to be a God because we're wired to look to Him, to find Him, to seek Him out, to pray to Him, to be close to Him. Now, a second thing that I've observed is that we're not very good at it. We could do a better job of praying. I hear such things like, I really don't know how to pray, Pastor. I just feel awkward in my praying. I don't have confidence in my prayers. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I'm going to be asking one of you to come up right now in front of the congregation and offer a prayer. How many would like to do that? So, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. Not me, Pastor. Take a hot stick rather than pray out in front of a bunch of people because we don't have the confidence to pray. I mean, maybe we've memorized some prayers and we do it. Come, Lord. What's that one again? Come, Lord Jesus. Now I lay me down. We have a couple of them that we've memorized. We kind of have them hardwired from the time we were real young if we had Christian parents. But we just, otherwise we don't feel very confident. God doesn't want it that way. So here's a thing. We're in good company. St. Paul said, Romans 8:26, we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray. That's the guy who wrote half the New Testament. And he says, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for. And then you got all the disciples of Jesus come to Jesus. They said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to what? Teach us to pray. And so the sermon title for this, the first in a series of on the power of prayer, is A Beginner's Guide to Prayer. Now, a third thing that I've learned over the years is that there's a big misconception about what prayer is. I've encountered a lot of phony, baloney ideas, misconceptions, misunderstandings, myths, and false information that's just not true, that leaves us feeling guilty about whether we pray, how much we pray, how we pray. God doesn't want us to be driven by guilt. He wants us to be drawn by grace. Prayer is not something that is supposed to make us feel guilty. It's supposed to be a conversation with God. And so what I want to do in the next few weeks is to debunk some of the false misunderstandings that we have, misconceptions we've been holding. Maybe you were taught as a kid. Maybe you saw on television about prayer that are flat out all wrong. And I want to expose them, and we want to learn what Jesus and the Bible says about prayer. So we're going to start out, first of all, by talking about a couple of the prevailing myths about prayer. The first myth about prayer is that it is a magic wand. Prayer is not a magic wand. Some people think that prayer is sort of like the little stick that Harry Potter has. It waves, and all of a sudden your circumstances change. And somehow you get this little lantern, and you rub it like a magic genie, and the magic genie comes out of the lantern and says, your wish is my command. Wrong. God is not the servant, and we're the Lord. It's just the reverse. God is the Lord, and we're the servant. So prayer is not a magic wand. Second myth, prayer is not a fire extinguisher. Maybe cancer's got a hold of you. And you say, well, I tried everything else, been to the doctors, took all the medicine, everything else, nothing worked. I guess prayer won't hurt. Have you ever done that? You know, you try everything else, and then, well, maybe we ought to pray. It's kind of a last resort. My goodness. And so we use it as a fire hose, and we start spraying it all over the place. My husband's about to walk out on me. I'm going to start praying. The kids have lice. I'm going to start praying. I lost my keys. Definitely that one. I'm going to start praying. That's not what prayer is. We need to discover what the basics of prayer is. And so to do that, I'm going to use the analogy of football since it's playoff time anyway. And that Vince Lombardi, the old football coach, every season he would get his players together in the very first day of practice. He would go like this. He said, men, this is a football. And that's what we need to do with prayer. We need to start with the very basics. And so this week, on the back side of your bulletin, I've listed four pillars of prayer. They're foundational to prayer, and we'll build on them in the next few weeks. So let me just quickly go over what those four are. Number one, God loves for you to talk to Him. That's the very first thing we need to realize. God loves for you to talk to Him. It doesn't matter what you're discussing. It doesn't have to be religious. He loves for you to talk to him. How do I know that? Because he loves you. You wouldn't exist if he doesn't love you. We exist because God wanted an object to his love beyond the Trinity. And so he made us in his image to love. He made us to love, be loved forever. And when we screwed it up and became unlovable, God found a way to renew that love. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have his love forever in eternity. That's the reason he has set into motion everything that there exists and the church that exists. A second reason I know God wants to have you talk to him about anything is because he gave you all the thoughts and interests in the first place. They all came from him. He put them into your cranium. And each one of us is wired differently, and that's so everything in the world can get done. But he has made us the way we are, and he wants to know what's going on in this little thing up here. He wants to know what we're thinking, what we're dreaming, what we're hoping, what we're anxious about. Now, a third reason that God loves to talk with us is because we're his kid. And that's why we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." We're his child. And so when we're talking to God, nothing is off limits. Some people think, "Oh, this is something I should bother God with." Maybe your heart's been broken. Talk to God. Maybe somebody's dumped you. Talk to God. Mosquitoes, hair loss. Talk to God. See what he can do about it. 1 John 5 says this: we can be confident about approaching God, knowing that he listens to us whenever we ask him. He listens to us when we pray, whether the prayer is out loud, whether it's in song, or whether it's just in our head as we're going down a freeway somewhere, and it's just in our head, God hears us, and he will most certainly answer. And so the first foundational pillar principle, we are wired to pray. The second one is God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. There is no need to be spiritual. And this is the other thing we get wrong. We think we have to somehow get all our words in perfect alliteration in order for them to be correct prayers. And so we go before God and we say, "O thou great potentate of the universe, we beseechest thou that thy will always give us our all manner of beseeched blessings." And you know what God's doing? He's going, "Huh? That's 200-year-old English. I'm not English. I didn't grow up in England. Get out of it. I can talk to you normally." So we can just go up to God and we can say, "Hey, God, I'm here today. It's me." And some of the best prayers are the most simplest prayers of all. And you sit down at dinner. You don't have to do, "Come, Lord Jesus, be thy guest." And that's what we do all the time. But we can simply go to In-N-Out Burger. We can simply go to the Taco Bell and say, "Lord, the stomach juices are going, so this is going to be a quick one. Thank you so much for fast food. In Jesus' name, amen." Be real. Even when you don't feel like it. Say you're not feeling good, just say, "Lord, I'm not feeling very good today." When you're upset, "Lord, I don't understand you. I've been praying. I don't seem to be getting an answer. I don't know why this is happening in my life. I haven't gotten my paycheck because of the federal shutdown, and I am going broke. Lord, I don't understand any of this." Well, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, then all you need to do is to go to the book of Psalms. Because there are, in the book of Psalms, 150 psalms. And one-third of them are psalms of lament. You know what that means? That means that they're complaining to God. A third of the book of Psalms are people complaining to God about something. It's okay. You're mad. You're upset. You're questioning. God has given you your emotions. If he didn't want you to have emotions, he wouldn't have given you emotions. It's okay. He can take it. And that's all right to do. And then keep it short. I mean, have you ever been with somebody who wanted to offer a petition, and they did it in 19 different ways, and they just kept on going forever and ever and ever. And you kind of like think to yourself, man, land the plane, buddy. You're just saying the same thing over and over and over, and not even in a fresh way. My goodness. So if you're out there in the patio and somebody says, I'm going into surgery tomorrow, you just say, you know, can I have a prayer with you? Heavenly Father, my friend's going into surgery. Just be with the doctors that they do their things they're supposed to. Give peace into his heart and quick healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go eat. So it's that quick. You don't have to make it long. You don't have to write do all these verses. And so you might want to write this down. Longer is not stronger in prayer. Longer is not stronger in prayer. Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by men. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask. So then you say, well, if my Father knows what I need even before I ask, then why even ask? He already knows. Don't you remember? God loves to talk to you. I mean, he's a father. He loves to talk to kids. If you have kids or grandkids, do you want them to talk to you or want them to go to the other room and never be heard? You want to talk with them. God wants us to be talking to them all the time. And so that's the second thing. The third pillar is this. God likes to show his love by answering prayer. God loves to show his love by answering prayer. Because by answering prayer, God shows us what he's really like. What he's really like. Everything in the universe comes from the generosity of God. And when we pray, when we ask for something, it's God's chance to give us something. To show us his generosity. An opportunity to answer our requests. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we are commanded to ask. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. You have not because you ask not. If you ask anything in my name over 20 times, if you are a child of God, then you are commanded to ask God for things. Why? God gets to show you how good he is, that he's a good father, how gracious he is, how loving he is, how generous he is. With every answer that God gives us, he's showing us his love to us, regardless of the answer. We don't always get yes, and we wouldn't want to. I mean, now if you're a parent and you have a little kid, you're a grandparent, you have a little grandchild, you don't give those little kids everything they ask for because it would be harmful and they would be spoiled. And so we come to know that there are dozens and dozens of good reasons why God doesn't say yes to everything that we ask for. And you may not understand why right now. You're not God. But there are dozens of reasons. Sometimes God says no for our protection. Sometimes God says no for our direction. Sometimes God says no for our correction. To correct us on course. Sometimes God says no for our perfection, to help us grow in character. Sometimes God says no for our inspection, to help us look inside, help us see what we couldn't see before. A child that gets everything is a spoiled child, and God is much more interested in our character than he is in our comfort. You might want to write that down. He's much more interested in our character than he is in our comfort. He loves us too much to say yes to everything, especially if it could hurt us. God is not some kind of vending machine in heaven. You throw in a prayer and out comes what you want. God says, I didn't say I'd answer every prayer the way you want it, but I will answer it. And when you pray, there are four possible answers to prayer. I don't think I have that in your notes, but if you want to write that down, you can. There are four possible answers to prayer. The first one is yes. The second one is no. The third one is not yet. And the fourth one is, you got to be kidding me. You're asking for that? No way. A child, a baby, doesn't know the difference between no and not yet. A sign of spiritual maturity is to be able to discern the difference between no and not yet. Maturity is when you realize that God's delays are not always God's denials. And a lot of times God says, I have every intention of giving you this, but I'm not going to do it now. You're not ready for it yet. And I'm going to give you something that is going to be so much bigger, so far grander than what you're asking for. I need to school you in character and obedience to me for a period of time before I grant you the answer to that prayer. Because you're not ready for it now. You won't know how to handle it now. You'll ruin it right now, but you will get it later as you grow in me and mature. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you. I will show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. I love that. Sometimes God's answer is so much larger than our prayer that we have to get ready for the kind of answer he's ready to give to us. You look back in your own lives and think of how true that is. You think back and you think of the prayers that you have done when you were younger and how God has given you so much more, something so far better than even what you were praying for back then. And he had to get you ready for it. One more pillar. The fourth truth on which all prayer is built, God longs to be close to you. He wants it deeply. If you've ever been away from somebody you love and you're on a trip, it's not the same if you're by yourself. If you can take your sweetheart along with you, how different that trip gets to be. And how you call on the phone, how you want to go and be back in communication. Now, some of you are married. Some of you are divorced. Some of you are widowed. Some of you are single. Doesn't make any difference. We have a partner in life, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he wants to be with you on every trip you take and every journey you go down and every day of your life. He's got a 24-hour drop-in system. He's never offline, and he would have us talk to him every minute of the day. Isaiah 30:18 says, the Lord waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. We were made for that relationship. And in one of the most beautiful scriptural passages in the Bible, it says this in John 15:15. I don't call you servants. I call you friends. You get this, the creator of the universe, the one who holds in his hand all energy and all matter, who is more powerful than a billion H-bombs, who loved you to death and to life eternal through his son Jesus Christ on the cross and the open tomb. His spirit is poured into our hearts through word and sacrament and comes to us this morning and says, I love you. I love you. I'll never leave you. I want to be in close communion with you all the time. I want that relationship with you now. We were formed for this. And if we in our life miss this point, that we're to be in constant communication with our Creator Redeemer, then we've missed our life. We are put on this planet to have a relationship that will last to all eternity. And that's why I love what it says in James 4:8. It says, draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. That's a promise. Now, in the days ahead, we're going to be talking more about prayer, and we're going to unpack a lot of the benefits that come from prayer, how to pray, and the different kinds of prayer, the benefits that come. But I'm going to leave you with just one benefit today, the very first benefit of prayer. I don't think it's in your notes, but if you want to write it down, you can. And it's this: the closer I am to God, the less stressed and the more blessed I am. That's what God says. The closer I am to God, the less stressed and the more blessed I'll be. The entire purpose of these next several weeks before Lent will be to deepen our friendship with God, to know Him better. We want to get to know Him better. He's waiting. He's longing for us to get to know Him better. He's waiting for us to talk to Him about anything that's on our mind, anything that's on our heart. And nothing's off limits. Let's rise and pray. Father God, I pray a simple prayer, a sincere prayer. I want the people here to know You better. And I want them to fall in love with You the way that You love them. I want them to know You the way that You know them. And I ask You to take these words to touch in their hearts. Touch their hearts in Jesus' name. And I pray too that You'll be especially drawn near to all who are in need of Your healing touch. Just be with them, Lord. Give them strength and healing. And we also bring before You, O Lord, our nation. Lord, we bring our government leaders, ask that they might come together in prayer, that they might soften their hearts, that You might work with these people so that our federal workers might again receive their pay, that we might again have a functioning nation, one nation under God. For all these prayers and all of these petitions, we ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.